Today we start the show with a look at the U.S. Supreme Court, which this past week made news for its rulings on cases, as well as a decision to retire, which we'll get to that second part later on this morning. One of the Supreme Court rulings brought an end to public workers being mandated to join unions representing them. Many union supporters fear this will greatly reduce union membership and in turn weaken the unions regarding what they achieve for their members. Our first guest today heads a New Jersey union, which will certainly experience some sort of impact from this ruling. She is the president of the NJEA. Marie Bliston, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that you invited me.
And the website is njea.org. Learn more about the union, its work, and their comments on this issue, which we'll get to as well here. When you first heard about the ruling, Marie, what was your initial reaction?
Well, Chris, first and foremost, I've been a classroom teacher for well over 30 years in our great New Jersey public schools, teaching students from kindergarten over those many years through high school. And I know very well what the impact and the results have been because of the work of our union. It has enabled me to be a teacher of students in special education, a successful teacher. And my immediate reaction was disappointment that this Supreme Court, after all these many years, would reverse this longstanding held constitutional right to represent members and collect fair share fees. So I'll just go back for a second. The court decision actually resulted with a statement that said the public sector unions could not require employees who choose not to be members to pay agency fees. So we've always had some members who, for what various reasons, did not want to become part of a union. That's not what the court case said. It said it just would not be able to charge those employees what we would consider fair share parts of the dues that paid for all those working conditions that unions have advocated for.
And this was a ruling specifically against the 22 right to work states. Does New Jersey fall under that law?
Yeah, we absolutely do. Yep.
And by the way, for you listening, the case was Janus versus AFSCME, which the primary, I guess, objection or the catalyst for Mr. Janus in this suit was he didn't mind paying dues to the union. I guess his problem was what was being done with the union money. He saw that particular chapter of AFSCME getting overly political, if I understood his comments right in an interview the other day. Is that a fair observation by a union member that I believe in the supporting of the workplace, but when it goes to the political realm, is there a line where a union gets too political?
Well, actually, in the state of New Jersey, we have a whole separate category for members who want to contribute to the political operation of the union. It is a separate deduction, and it is strictly voluntary.
So it brings about the question, are there a lot of other unions who have followed that lead? Because that would seem to be a great appeasement, and maybe if this was a widespread idea, might have avoided something like this.
Yeah, and I can't speak for them. I don't know how their operation is, but I know how we operate in New Jersey, and that's why it was even more upsetting to see what I would consider the overreach of the Supreme Court into our state's operations with our union work.
There have been some of the teacher unions in particular have expressed concern this could mean a loss of up to a third of their membership and in turn a sizable piece of revenue. For the layperson, for someone who's not a union member, what does a union need money for if it's simply a matter of sitting at a table and talking, again, in a layperson's frame of mind?
So what our union has been able to do over, and again, I've seen the rise of this union over these 30 years in the state, so I can speak firsthand as to the difference that it made in my life to be able to be a professional and provide those services in my classroom. But there's research that has to be done. There's advocacy on the professional development side for all of our employees. And I'll make the point that we represent not just teachers, but what we call our support professionals, our aides, bus drivers, custodians, security, and so on. And we advocate on behalf of all of them so that we can, in fact, have those working conditions that I've always said are conducive to student learning. And I will say this, when I began teaching many years ago, New Jersey was not ranked at the top in state in the state quality indicators for public education. But I'm very proud to say that today, New Jersey ranks either at number one, two, or three in almost every single indicator, and definitely number two as providing the best quality education. So how does that come about? Well, it comes about because also what we advocate for are health and safety conditions in our schools. We advocate for students who are from pre-K through college and advocate for the funding that is needed and the resources that is needed to provide that quality education. We advocate, for an instance, I will tell you, in our public schools, under the former governor, Governor Christie, he had the ability to stop money from going into building new public schools that needed to be built or repairing public schools that were in dire need of repair. He stopped the funding, stopped, in fact, about 52 buildings were actually being built, stopped it. And for about a year and a half, nothing was going on. And it was our organization joining with other parent groups, other coalitions of people who know the value of public education in this country. And we put pressure to actually show that that money needed to be released, show that it wasn't being released. And we, in fact, were successful in getting that released. And when you put all those things together, that's why we're able to go into our schools and why we're marked with having the best quality public schools. In addition to that, and in the professional development realm, we've been leaders in this country with advocating for professional development for all of our employees. Again, whether they are the paraprofessionals, our cafeteria workers, our custodians, our maintenance, security secretaries, our teachers, child study teams, librarians. We've been advocates for working with other other stakeholder groups like the School Boards Association, principals and supervisors, in providing grants for classroom instruction, right, to make sure that the public money is, in fact, being used to support our students. And we've been very big advocates on supporting and expanding our pre-K public education system.
With Marie Blisten, who is the president of the NJEA. NJEA.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You have over 200,000 members. Are you planning to constitute some sort of response to this ruling as a means to, for lack of a better phrase, measure customer approval, making sure that the rank and file are pleased with the steps that you just laid out and the policies that you have, and to, if there are some who are displeased and thinking of using this ruling to back out, to think of what you would have to do and or say to alleviate any concerns anyone in the rank and file might have?
That's a very good question. Thank you for asking it. Well, I will tell you, we have been, I think, again, leaders in making sure that our members know the value of their union. We are a very democratic union, very democratic in our policy and our structure. In our procedure, and any policy that we have is member-driven, definitely from what we would call the grounds up. We have huge delegate assembly. We have executive committees. We have representatives on about 50 state-level, what we call NJEA committees, that give our members voice in their profession, whether it's in, again, professional development or instruction or certification or evaluation. We've been leaders in giving our members the voice so that they have a say over their profession. We've been in touch with our members over 30-plus years. I was a local leader and a member for many years before I took this state position, and I'm very happy to say that the current leadership here at the state level is still continuing to maintain and support our local level so that our people right on the ground, whether it's in the office, on the bus, or in the classroom, or on the playground, right, have voice into what it is that our kids need in our public schools. And so for that reason, I believe that our members do see that value. They do recognize it. We have always had a very small number of members who chose not to be members of the union. I don't think that that's going to change.
Learn more about the work, the issues, points of focus of the NJEA. Their website is njea.org. And we've been talking with their president, Marie Ballista. Marie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.